Case number 23-3286, Murray Fisher versus Airgas USA LLC. Arguments not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Conway, you may proceed for the appellant.
Thank you. May it please the court, I'm Mike Conway. I'm the appellant's counsel for Murray Fisher. He's filed a lawsuit against Airgas, his former employer. The issue is whether or not summary judgment should have been granted on Ohio Revised Code 411202 disability discrimination claim. The facts are very straightforward. My client had cancer. The defendant was aware of it. The employer even accommodated the disability by giving him sick leave to treat for it. He returned to work in October of 2020. He was under chemotherapy and experiencing great pain. He could not drink water or eat food because of the pain. He was taking lidocaine, and he also used a legal substance called free hemp to deal with the pain. I think he said a teaspoon a day or a couple times a day. Free hemp is a legal product. The active ingredient is THCA. THCA is not on a federal drug schedule. And the evidence below shows that eventually my client came up positive on and by the way, I forgot to reserve my rebuttal time, 5 minutes. My client came up positive on a drug screen, and the drug report said THCA, not THC. And my client informed the employer, the HR officer, Bill Lowry, that, hey, look, I'm taking this legal product. He even gave him a picture of the jar and said, you know, I've got cancer and I'm in pain and I'm not using illegal drugs.
Do you have a page ID number for where the report said THCA specifically?
It would be... We filed a motion to strike the affidavit of Todd Simo, and I believe it was attached or it was discussed in the in that motion practice. I don't have a page ID off the top of my head, Judge. I'd have to look at the record.
What did the Simo, whatever his name is, the doctor's affidavit say?
He said there was 25 nanograms per milliliter or microliter in my client's urine.
Microliter of, or nanograms of THCA, I believe.
THCA, correct.
The document that I saw, which is at page 431, page ID, which is Simo, Dr. Todd Simo's affidavit saying that the drug test showed that he had 25 ng/mL nanograms per milliliter of THCA.
Correct.
And you're saying that THCA is not a banned substance.
That's right, Your Honor. Under the federal laws I've researched, you don't see THC as a controlled substance. THC is. And either way, the question is, could a jury find that the employer discriminated against my client based on his disability? There's no law or rule that says if you come up positive on a drug screen for any reason, you have to be fired. But there is a law that says you cannot discriminate based on disability.
But if the question is whether the employer honestly believed he had ingested marijuana as opposed to the hemp product, the same affidavit, which is by the medical officer from Higher Right, says in paragraph 10, his result of 25 ng of THCA indicates the presence of marijuana. So Higher Right is saying, notwithstanding whether you're right or wrong about the schedule, Higher Right is saying this shows that he ingested marijuana, and why doesn't that support their defense that, you know, we had it tested and retested. Both times they're telling us he's positive for marijuana, and so we fired him.
Well, here's a great irony. The district judge said the reason she didn't strike Simo's affidavit was she said it didn't matter because they don't have to prove he actually used marijuana. You just have to really believe it.
Right.
Okay, the problem with that is that That's why they fired him, because they used marijuana. And if that's a contested issue, well, how come a judge... Okay, the issue, ultimate issue is discrimination. Let's say, I mean, let's say he...
They don't fire him for, in their minds, for discrimination. And if they have a good faith belief that he has committed some other infraction, right or wrong, then when they fire him for that infraction, they're not firing him on the basis of discrimination.
That's if you believe him. That's your question. Well, Judge,
this is where I think we got really distracted in all of the briefing. Sorry, Judge Moore, if I interrupted you.
Yes.
He takes a test and he tests positive. He asks for a retest and he tests positive. He's still unhappy about that, so they refer to the chief medical officer who says, yes, he's positive for marijuana. Now, let's assume that you can quibble about every single one of those three and that it really wasn't marijuana. But the company, it seems to me, bent over backwards to try to overcome this positive test so this guy could stay employed, and he's failed at every step. So I just don't understand where you say the pretext is here.
The pretext, Your Honor, is that Bill Lowry, the HR officer, admitted he didn't care if the test results were accurate. The pretext is the evidence shows that in Simon's affidavit, he's vouching for the credibility of a test he didn't conduct and can't explain and did not explain and did not qualify himself as an expert, although he gave expert witness testimony. And on top of that, HireRight, the company that was supposed to do the test, didn't do the test. It was Concentra, which makes the affidavit based on hearsay. Now, if they're saying that none of that matters, then I don't even know why we have the rules of evidence, because they're the ones who swore everything's true and said, this is why we did it. And then I say, wait a minute here. That affidavit's not admissible. And the judge is saying, oh, it doesn't matter. They honestly believe this stuff. You got a guy who said, we can't accommodate this guy's disability when he tried to take sick leave. Okay. Comes back and he denies he knew my client was using the hemp product. That was a lie. Caught him in his deposition making misrepresentation, saying he never communicated with HireRight or knew my client was using hemp when he knew that wasn't true. And the boss, my client's own boss, Christopher Major, said don't fire him. And Major's boss said don't fire him. You got two employers saying don't fire this guy.
That's a question for you.
So a question that has been bugging me is that in looking at the evidentiary material in our record, it strikes me that your client did in fact tell various people at the company that he was taking hemp after the first positive test.
Correct.
And when we see the CMO affidavit saying that he tested positively for THCA, and my understanding is THCA is legal in hemp, that the problem in marijuana is THC. Am I correct on that?
Correct.
So then why doesn't this completely pierce the idea that there was an honest belief in the reliability of the test? So even if you're going to the honest belief rule, why doesn't your client win?
He should win because the honest belief isn't based on reliable information and the employer knows it and the employer chose a policy of ignorance. My client offered them information that Majors, his boss, and his boss believed were accurate. Majors even testified, I believe that Murray is telling the truth and he says he took a legal product. My guy was dying of cancer. It's undisputed. I mean, it's not like he's some recreational drug user that is partying at work. There's no evidence anything he did interfered with his work. Everything that, you know, has been used that came up in the test comes from outside work. And he's never a threat to the safety of anybody at the workplace. They should have said, look, I know we got a dispute about this test, but we also know you've got cancer and have been dying of it, and you're trying to deal with the pain. And we're going to accommodate that. And you got a guy, Lowry, saying, no, we're not. And he's choosing not to investigate even, he doesn't even care whether the drug test is accurate. He's saying, we got the result we want. No need to look further. That's the problem.
Did your client ask for an accommodation to be allowed to use hemp?
Yes. He wanted to be able to use that product when he could not eat or swallow water. And really the only accommodation he asked was to be able to get medical care for his condition. That's really it, because he was able to work. The judge did not dispute. We made out a prima facie case, proved all the elements. The only issue is this honest belief, which is a subjective defense pitted against objective evidence. And the trouble with that is, okay, well, it's like saying, you know, I'm the president, I can declassify top secret documents by just thinking about it. Well, so I didn't break the law. That's the problem. It's just too easy. When the employer is told the boss doesn't want him fired, and the boss's boss doesn't want him fired, and they know he's dying from cancer, and he proved he's not using illicit drugs. This test says THCA, not THC. Circumstances show, the jury could find that we got a dispute. And I don't believe this employer, because this guy has a problem with this guy having cancer and working here. And I think that's why this case should have gone to the jury.
So to clarify, THCA is a legal substance.
Correct.
It is lawful to have THCA
right.
in your system. And,
right.
and what does the company policy prohibit? Is it simply failing a drug test?
They said it was for failing a drug test. And the problem is that you can get a lot of mileage out of that and avoid being sued for discrimination by making a claim, as simple as that. The judge cited the Bailey case, Bailey versus Real-Time Staffing. I'm only going to use about another minute of my rebuttal.
Yeah, that's okay.
They cited Bailey versus Real-Time Staffing as the case that this case should be judged by, but Bailey is distinguishable on its facts. Bailey had HIV, never told anybody, and he got fired and after testing positive for, I think it was marijuana, and the theory was, now that we've tested positive, you know I've got a disability and you can't fire me. That's not what happened here. My client the defendant had known my client had a disability of cancer for months.
But the opponent didn't know, the company didn't know he was taking hemp. Does that make
sense? Well, he had no reason to tell him until the test result came in. I mean, he was using a legal product. It wouldn't make any sense for him to say, you know, I got to let you know I'm using this legal product that might come up on the test, because he had no reason to suspect it would. It was a legal product.
So it would be like requiring your client to say to the employer, I'm eating a lot of broccoli because broccoli is good for my cancer. Hemp is...
And broccoli actually is good for cancer. That's why I was confused.
Right.
But
okay.
It's got really antioxidants in it.
We've taken you beyond.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor. I respectfully request reverse and remand.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court, Jason Huskin for Appellant Airgas. If I could go really quickly to the death of the plaintiff for about 30 seconds. I think the Court should order Mr. Fisher to move to substitute within a reasonable period of time. Otherwise, this appeal is moot at this point. Order the substitution, it would seem, of his wife.
Yeah. And do you agree that the claims survive under Ohio law?
So the suggestion came a couple days ago. our initial research suggests that a claim for compensatory damages would. I believe what plaintiff is seeking in his amended petition is $15 million for compensatory punitive damages, costs, fees. My understanding, at least under this court's case law, is that the punitive damages claim would not survive, but the compensatory would.
Okay, but we are here on state law claims, right?
Right.
Not on federal ADA claim.
I can only tell you what I know at this juncture and without a motion to substitute.
No, but I'm asking the basic complaint that was thrown out by the district court was on state law.
It is on state law.
No, and it's not a federal
correct
case. It's a diversity case.
It's a diversity case, yes.
Okay, so we would look at Ohio law, whatever Ohio law
look at Ohio law and whatever Ohio law says,
okay.
Yes.
Second question that, on a preliminary note, I was a little bit troubled about the removal to federal court because there was a non-diverse defendant here. And, later the plaintiff dismissed the non-diverse claimant, sorry, the non-diverse defendant. But why was there not a lack of complete diversity when you removed the case?
So I think there are three ways to look at it. So it was pejorative term. It was a snap removal. Mr. Majors, who was the form defendant, was named. He was never served in the four-week interim between when we were served and when we removed.
What was his role, or who is he?
He is. He was the supervisor of Mr. Fisher.
Okay, very good.
The original complaint does not purport to state a claim against him. He's in the caption, and the allegations say a couple things about him. So one way to find that jurisdiction is appropriate would be to say that snap removal is appropriate. You've said that in McCall versus Scott, 239 F3rd 808. In note 2 of that opinion, this court said where there is complete diversity of citizenship, the inclusion of an unserved resident defendant in the action does not defeat removal under the form defendant rule. Another way you could look at it is that there was complete diversity at the time of the judgment. This court said in Gentech Building Products, which is 491 F3rd 320, that where removal is improper, but a final judgment issues with jurisdiction existing at that time. If the plaintiff did not move to remand state court, the judgment stands. And I should point out on this point that I think Mr. Majors was dismissed about
like
six to 8 weeks after it had been removed.
So do you think Gentech is still good law?
Yes, definitely.
Was there a motion to remand?
There was never a motion to remand, no.
Do you think some fraudulent joinder theory would have supported jurisdiction?
Fraudulent joinder was stated as a basis for removal in the notice of removal, yes. Hmm. And then a third way you could do it. Sorry.
Well, I don't know. I'm interested in like what's right.
Right.
It's not just some clay object that we are moving around here.
Right.
So what do you think's right?
I think the best way to, I think the best and clearest way to do it under your precedents that represent a holding as opposed to something that lower courts in this circuit have deemed dicta is Gentech, which is if the removal is improper, but a final judgment issues with jurisdiction existing at that time, if the plaintiff did not move to remand to state court, the judgment stands. That's what happened here. That's the best way, in my view, to resolve.
Did Mr. Fisher, before he was fired, did he, I think Judge Moore may have alluded to this, did he inform Airgas that he was taking this hemp product? Did he inform Airgas he was taking the hemp product before the second retest, is my question.
My understanding is that he informed Airgas that he was taking the free hemp product before the second test, but not the first test.
And the second test, as I understand it, took like 10 or so days, I'm estimating, you correct me, 10 or so days to be completed. So there was a substantial period of time, perhaps 2 weeks, tell me if I'm wrong, between the receipt of the first test and the receipt of the second test.
I don't recall.
Okay.
I don't recall the exact number of days. Okay. But I mean, really, to go directly to your question, though, so you've pointed out that Dr. Simo's affidavit says THCA. Let's assume that's legal.
It does. It's right here.
Yeah, it's right there.
The affidavit.
Okay.
It also says ergo marijuana.
Yeah, it also says that the Mr. Fisher's drug test result of 25 something whatever of THCA, sorry, indicates the presence of marijuana in the test subject specimen sample. Then you have the original drug test, which is at page ID 424. It's a exhibit H to the motion for summary judgment. Drug testing. Drug testing does not meet company standards. Drug testing positive result. Test name marijuana. Result positive. Okay.
Okay. So that's the actual report of the first drug test.
That's the report
and
of the first.
It doesn't say THC. It doesn't say THCA. It just says positive for marijuana.
It doesn't say either.
Okay, and that's when Mr. Fisher says to the company, "Hey, I'm taking hemp.
Mm-hmm.
I never took marijuana." Okay, so how can you have an honest belief, if we just cut to the chase, how can you have an honest belief that he is taking marijuana when you have this doctor who says it's THCA, when THCA is hemp, not marijuana? There is the later statement that says THCA indicates the presence of marijuana, but you have Mr. Fisher continually saying, "I don't take drugs. I'm somebody who's got half a liver. I've had all this chemo. I'm taking hemp because I'm hoping it will make me be able to let stuff go down my esophagus."
I would put it this way. You've got an initial drug test that says he tested positive for marijuana. You've got an affidavit that says both THCA and that says marijuana.
Why don't you have an obligation to ask somebody, could this be hemp? Isn't that fair?
Well, they retested a second time.
But they're retesting right. The same sample, so it's not a big shock that it would come out the same.
I think the state of Ohio retests the same sample as well. I mean, I don't think it's anything novel to retest the same sample.
I mean, you've said that Mr. Fisher tells them, "I'm taking this hemp product." He's obviously got this extraordinary circumstance that would make that pretty credible. So, I mean, why didn't your client have some obligation to do some reasonable investigation about whether it might be hemp rather than marijuana? That is a predicate for the honest belief rule, that it has to be kind of a reasonable determination, not crazy, not derelict, etc.
I think they made a reasonably informed decision to terminate him based on the failed drug test.
I get, but that's not engaging my question. I get that there are two failed drug tests. I get that they fire him for that reason. But if he, in between the two, tells them, "Hey guys, I'm taking hemp," which most people know is like pretty close analog, I guess, to marijuana, why don't they have an obligation in order to satisfy the reasonable, diligence, so to speak, predicate for the honest belief rule? Why, at that point, do they not have an obligation to go check out, in some manner, whether it actually might be hemp rather than marijuana?
Well, the law says their job is not to leave no stone unturned.
Right, but this is a pretty big stone, isn't it? I mean, he's telling them. It's facially plausible. So why is this just some stray stone that we don't need to worry about, as opposed to something a reasonable person would inquire into?
I think they did, and they went back, and they were told by higher right that the test was positive.
He asked for the second test, right?
Mr. Fisher asked for the second test.
That's not really air gas doing anything. They're just being reactive there. I mean, they did.
That was the first time the usage of the free hemp was disclosed to him, to Airgas, was at the time of the second test.
Did they do anything to research specifically whether it might have been hemp?
I'm not aware of anything in the record that shows that they did anything to research specifically whether it was hemp. But I'm also not aware of anything in the law that requires them to have done so.
You think a reasonable person would have investigated that possibility before firing him?
That's hard to say. I would think that an employer taking reasonable steps would do what was done here, which was you tell me you're taking a legal hemp product, you ask for a second test, I do a second test. Before doing a second test, I talk to my internal drug protocol expert, figure out, you know, what the right answers to your questions are and what we need to do. Then when you ask to be reinstated a second time, I consult with the chief medical officer at the outside contractor, and he's telling me again that it's a positive drug test. I'm not required to leave no stone unturned. I've done quite a bit there by that point. I guess what ultimately happens in Bailey, I don't want to completely rest on Bailey, but, you know, they're entitled to believe the chief medical officer over Mr. Fisher. And
so just if I can clarify, the second test, I see references in the record to it being a split sample. So am I correct in understanding the record being that he gave the one sample when he had the random drug test, and he gave one sample, and it split, and then they test it first, and they get this positive result, and then he says, no, I'm taking hemp, it's perfectly legal, and then they do a second test of that very same split sample, the other half of the sample, and it comes back the same, which if you have legitimate testing, that's not a big shock that the second test of this exact same sample would come back the same. Am I fairly characterizing what happened?
It's a second test of the same sample. Yes,
okay.
That's
the same lab, presumably.
By the same lab. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Isn't the whole purpose of the second test, even though it's the same sample with split, the whole purpose of the test is to see if there was an error made during the first test that got contaminated or whatever. And the second test discloses that there was no error.
Yes, the second test is confirmatory. I have about 40 seconds left.
So the honest belief rule here then would be saying, in effect, you can have an honest belief that someone who has tested positive for THCA has imbibed or ingested marijuana, and you can fire him for that, even though he says, hey guys, you know I've had liver cancer and have been out for 8 weeks and had half my liver removed and such, and I'm taking hemp, which is a legal product. The honest belief rule lets you fire the person.
I would characterize it a little bit differently, one on the facts, and I'll do that before I forget it, and if I can finish my answer, and then another one on the law. I'm going to do the law first. The law first is he needs to show that the real reason is discrimination, and there's absolutely nothing in the record, zilch.
But not at SJ. He just needs to show that, you know, it's not worthy of credence, and you can do that one of several ways. At trial, he needs to show, and not only is your reason false, it's also a pretext for
actual discrimination. Well, to make out a prima facie case, he needs to show, at minimum, that it was due in part to his disability, as opposed to the drug test. We've been talking about the honest belief rule a lot, but
okay. All right, go ahead.
Right? So the conclusion in Bailey, which I believe is also a summary judgment, is that there's also no evidence showing that the real reason was discriminatory. That's also true here. On the facts, I think the application of the honest belief rule here is a little bit more nuanced than what you were suggesting, Judge Moore. I think what you have is a scenario where you have a drug test that says, test name, marijuana results positive. and you have an affidavit that says, you know, that the THC indicates the presence of marijuana in the test subject's specimen sample. And could somebody say, yes, I'm going to hunt this down and track this down forever? Yes, but the law does not require that.
Was the affidavit created after the lawsuit started?
I believe this affidavit does postdate the lawsuit, yes.
Yeah. So they did.
But he was consulted prior to the termination decision, and that was relayed to Mr. Fisher by the HRVP at Airgas. And the same fact was relied on correctly by the district court, and we would ask that you affirm the district court.
I mean, I'm not sure that this ultimately makes any difference, but in a case like this, where you're essentially arguing over the results of a test, does he have the opportunity under the company's policy to either have the company retest him as opposed to a split sample, or alternatively have his own test done and submit that to the company? I don't know what the result would be based on your answer, but does he have the option of either of those?
So I don't think he has the first option under the policy. I don't think there's anything in the policy that would prevent the second option that you're mentioning, which is to come back with his own test.
And would there be any such obligation, at least arguably or hypothetically here, when you're claiming pretext, to show that the reason was wrong, which is one of the three ways that you can show pretext, by submitting his own evidence, that aside from just saying I never ingested marijuana, which I suppose almost everybody that gets fired for failing a drug test says, no, it was secondhand smoke, I didn't do it, you know, so on and so forth. What's the legal consequence, if any, if he had the second option and didn't avail himself of it, when it's his burden to show, ultimately, pretext?
Well, in my view, there are several things that he could have done either in the litigation or prior to the litigation to make that showing. And it is, you're correct that it is his burden. Yes, he could have had a sample tested elsewhere and presented that to Airgas. He could have, subpoenaed Higher Right during the course of the litigation. I mean, there are ways that he could have attempted to meet his burden. He hasn't met it here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, the reason that defendant Majors was dismissed was because the defendants agreed to take the case to mediation in front of Judge Polster in U.S. District Court after it was removed, and we were under the impression that the case was going to be resolved, so to avoid controversy and simplify matters, we let him go. He was served with the defendant at his place of employment. With respect to the honest belief, that's based on all the circumstances. Smith versus Chrysler is the controlling case. The honest belief has to be based on reasonable factors. We hear, okay, why don't you get your own urine test? Why didn't you subpoena Higher Right? I could go on and on about dealing with Higher Right, and it's a whole nother story. But the fact of the matter is, the report said THCA on it. That's a legal substance. So where's...
But their job is not to be a toxicologist.
True.
And the toxicologist apparently is telling him THCA, it's positive for THCA and ergo marijuana.
We don't know that Dr. Simon was a toxicologist. He never submitted a resume.
Some kind of expert.
We don't know
medical
that.
Officer. I mean, you understand my point.
I get your point, Your Honor, but there's no evidence that Simon even did anything except repeat a report and sign it. Because He never talked about how he knew the test was accurate, how the test was conducted. Matter of fact, again, it was conducted by Concentra, not HireRight. So we got double hearsay on it. And then on top of that, you know, even if you submitted urine and it was clean, it's kind of like one of those DUI cases you take when you've been in practice of law a month and a half, and the cops say, okay, I took this guy's blood test and it's or urine test and it shows X, Y, and Z. Well, I went to the hospital, we had my guy test and the doctor said it's clean, and what's the judge say? Wait a minute, that's not the test we're going to use, though. Okay, so I don't know that that would move the ball. But I'm just saying there is a question of fact on the defendant's credibility here when they indicate they that is Mr. Lowry, you know, he testifies, I don't care if the guy, he actually said, it's in my brief, words to the effect that I don't care if he's disabled, if he tests positive, I'm firing him. Well, there's no rule saying you got to fire somebody just because they tested positive.
They can fire.
They can, but he's disabled. He's a different situation.
But that almost goes, I mean, that almost seems to cut in their favor. If he's test positive for drugs, I'm firing him. I don't care what else, you know, is going on here, i.e. that's the reason.
Yeah, but you can't do that to a disabled employee when you know it's a disability, you know you got to accommodate him, he's requested an accommodation.
It's not the claim here.
Your Honor, it's part of the risk
just against somebody, you have to, you know, act adversely because of that criterion that, you know, is the trigger for the discrimination, so.
Your Honor, he's not, like I say, a recreational drug user. He's disabled. He's using free hemp for treatment. They were aware of it. They didn't investigate it. They have a duty to make sure that their decisions are not discriminatory. And they knew they were firing a disabled employee.
What concrete action do you think they ought to have done in order to make their investigation reasonable under the law?
I think they should have looked at the test results and said, no, this can't be. THCA is legal, and I'm going to not.
Who's they in that sentence?
I mean, the company, the HR department. The HR department fired him, not my client's boss. And
I mean, the HR department's supposed to be able to second-guess the toxicologist people and say, wait a minute, that's THCA, and that isn't marijuana.
They can do whatever they want as long as it's legal. But the problem, I mean, they can choose not to hire a toxicologist at all. And we don't know who Simon was. But the fact of the matter is, they knew they were firing a disabled person who's using a legal substance to treat for cancer. And they indicated they don't care if their test is accurate. Now, how can you have good faith belief when you say, doesn't matter to me whether or not we got the right result? I know you're disabled, but I don't care. How's that not discrimination? It's discrimination, and the jury could so find. And I think this case should reverse remand. And that brings me to 2 seconds left. If there are no further questions, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you both for your argument. The case will be submitted.